Loose Leadership.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun, T-Nuts. It's yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm doing fine, Pastor C.
And our good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing?
We're blessed.
I know that's right. Wish everyone a happy Thursday. It's good to be able to come together. We had a nice hot week, and we know we're going to have a hot Bible study.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on our Bible study. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for this day and all your many blessings. We thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen and women that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. God, we pray that you would bless us, that we would be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that this would be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, on last week, we were studying how the need for us to line up with the word of God as men and women, and particularly as husbands and wives. And there were some words in the Bible that were talking about submitting and submitting one another, submitting yourself one to another. And then we were talking about before we could submit to each other, we had to learn to submit to God.
That's right.
And that's with everything. When you learn to submit, Anthony, can you get to the? Can you turn me down just a little bit, Anthony? So when you get to the point where you understand that if I submit myself to God, I can do anything.
That's right.
You know, and Paul says that. He says that we can do all things through
Christ
that gives us the strength.
That's right.
And you know, that's in Philippians 4:13. And so once we understand that key right there, what happens then, everything else becomes, we can put in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we go to the third chapter of Colossians, and when you look at the third chapter of Colossians and you go down to verse 5, it talks about some things that we need to take care of in order for us to live the type of life that God wants us to live.
That's right.
And you know, sometimes we have to look at the word, and the word makes us feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dr. G, if we look at the word and we look at the word and we let the word reflect on us,
right.
It makes us uncomfortable.
That's right.
But the reason why it's uncomfortable is so we can get better.
Right.
And so if it makes us uncomfortable, it's trying to get us some things, get us to stop doing things that is going to hurt us. And that's what I found about the Word of God. And what makes it so powerful is it deals directly. It doesn't pull any punches. But it does that so that we can get better. It's sort of like taking some medication. I remember we used to take some, we used to take some nasty medicine called Mayrax, some old nasty stuff.
Robitussin, but it would make
you better.
Yeah.
And so if you took the medication, then you could get better.
Right.
And this is the way the Word of God is sometimes. Sometimes the Word of God is doesn't taste good, but it's good for you.
That's right.
And so when you start understanding that in living for God and trying to live a life where you can do the right thing and for your husband, for your wife, for the people around you, for God, we have to take it serious. So when we look at Colossians 3, verse 5, it gets into some serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off with mortify. You know what mortify means? It means kill.
Amen.
Now, how many of us go to the Bible and say, you need to kill this stuff.
All right.
You need to kill this stuff in your life. If you're going to deal with your wife correctly, you need to kill this stuff.
Amen.
If you deal with your husband correctly, you need to kill this stuff. If you're going to deal with your family, your kids, your job, you need to kill some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting that this stuff is still alive in some of our lives.
Amen.
Oh, my
Amen.
God.
It's always there.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Not whether you keep killing
but you
it.
You got to kill it every day.
Every day you have to Amen. Kill it. Right.
Daily.
So, Sheila G., let's look at that first word in Colossians 3, verse 5. It says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. So we got to kill some stuff. And the first word that he talks about mortifying, Dr. G.,
you say it.
Is fornication.
Fornication.
Pregnant pause, but go ahead.
Can I just go there?
Go ahead.
Might as well explain what it is.
What happens is there's this thing called a pituitary gland that develops in people.
Come on.
And this pituitary gland, it develops in midway in the back of your forehead. And what it does is it causes changes, physical changes, hormonal changes in the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And what happens is as young men, your voice gets a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start getting little peach fuzz on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And little things start acting funny and feeling funny on you.
All right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that little girl that you used to never pay attention to, all of a sudden, you start paying attention to her. Huh?
Uh-huh.
And then from the female side, that little straight up and down board starts poking out.
Come on. Tell it.
Stuff that used to be flat has a little curve. And it poke out a little bit.
All over the place.
And they start feeling funny, too.
Amen.
Uh-huh. And that little boy that used to get on their nerves.
Kind of cute.
Yeah. What you talking about?
Kind of cute.
It's all that pituitary, honey.
It's natural.
It comes natural. If you grow up, amen, and that happens to you, what happens is the boys look at the girls, and the girls look at the boys,
right.
And they want nature to take
its place. Right. Natural.
Amen.
Then it has to be mind over desire.
Amen. Amen. But the problem is if you get into a relationship based upon her little stuff starting to work and his little stuff starting to work, the relationship,
yeah.
Amen,
it's shallow.
Is based upon just the little stuff.
Amen.
Right. It's shallow. It's shallow.
Amen.
And that little stuff doesn't matter when you're mad at somebody.
So what happens is God says, I got a plan for this stuff. Your stuff and her stuff, I got a plan for it. But if you do it my way, if you do it according to my plan, what's going to happen is everything that is designed for that relationship will work according to my plan.
Mm.
But if you don't do it, what mm-hmm. happens is you go out of order and you start doing stuff with this stuff and his stuff and mm-hmm. her stuff. And what happens is you end up out of line and stuff starts going too fast or too slow. And so now you're out of whack, you're out of order.
Right.
Amen.
And so God says, in order for you to stay in order, and he said, I know she looked good, and I know he looked good.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, if you get with the Spirit of God, this Spirit of God will get you to a point where you can get to, let's go to Hebrews 13:4.
Hmm.
See what God says in Hebrews 13:4. Somebody get there with me.
Mm-hmm.
In Hebrews 13:4, this is God's plan.
Amen.
He says in Hebrews 13:4, what does he say?
Marriage.
Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers would judge. God will judge.
So God says, if you're not in that relationship where the pituitary gland is kicking and the hormones are kicking, if you're not in the marriage relationship, God says that you are what?
But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
He says you are what?
Whoremonger.
And
adulterer.
He says you're what?
Whoremonger and adulterer.
If you're not?
Married.
You're what?
Whoremonger and adulterer.
Say it again. Let's be clear on it now.
And that is what God calls fornication.
Amen.
Is anybody feeling uncomfortable?
Amen.
Is anybody feeling uncomfortable?
Because you keep saying it.
Well, I preface this whole thing, Dr. G, saying, when you go to the Word,
it'll make you
uncomfortable.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
It'll make you uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
But God said, I want you to have the best your blessing.
Right.
But if you take it out of order,
right,
what happens is the drama that you have to deal with,
it's not worth it.
Because most of the time what happens is after she do her thing, he do his thing, and there's no commitment, there's no covenant there, there's no promise to remain. What happened, he going to see another little cute girl walk down the street.
Mm. Right.
Or she going to see the other fine brother walk down the street.
Amen.
We ain't got no commitment.
And the makeup of a male versus a female is different because females tend to be more emotional about it. So when he mm-hmm. starts seeing that other little thing walking down the street, it's like, I know you didn't say committed, but because you did this, I thought you were committed.
You said you love me.
Got to go. Right, which is why it is important as females not to present that first. One of our old deacons said, used to say, keep your pocketbook closed.
Amen.
Because it has all your valuables in it.
Amen. Amen. But the thing is, when the drama comes in, this is the part I'm trying to figure out, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
G. A lot of times they won't go after the dude, but they'll go after the girl.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
Ready to pull off the earrings and get the Vaseline.
That's competition.
And I'm saying to myself, but he's the one that messed
but
up.
But he did it.
It don't matter.
But I love him.
Though. That's competition.
If I get rid of her, then he'll come back to me. So I just got to get rid of her.
But he's the one with the problem.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's forget about that for now. But I got to get rid of her, and then he'll come back to me, and then every her that comes by, I just punch
get
out.
Wow.
Hmm.
But God says, if you do it my way, he says, and he was 13,
you don't worry about the drama.
He says, marriage is honorable all in the bed undefiled.
Well,
that's right.
So if you do it outside of the bonds of marriage, he says that you are what?
Whoremonger and adulterer.
If you're not what?
Married.
Married.
He calls you a what?
Whoremonger and adulterer. Why do I have to keep saying that?
I want you
come on, man. We're doing
so,
all right.
So my question is that what Dr. G said? Dr. Mm-hmm. G didn't come up with that.
No, that's what God said.
This is what God said.
Amen.
Right.
But see, we didn't get it like that when we were younger.
No.
We didn't get it like that.
No. No.
But God says that if you're not married and you're in the bed, you are what?
A whoremonger and adulterer.
And he says that if you're a whoremonger and adulterer, God's going to do what?
Judge you.
I'm not going to judge
no.
you.
No.
You're not going to judge
no.
me. You're not,
no.
None of us
no.
can judge anybody.
You can't
else.
Judge anybody. We can't
but
judge
God
anybody.
But God will judge you.
Which is the worst judgment.
Which is the worst judgment. So when we looking at it as far as relationships and trying to keep down the drama in your life, anybody like drama?
No.
No unnecessary drama? Nobody likes unnecessary drama. Unnecessary drama.
No, no one likes unnecessary drama.
Nobody likes unnecessary drama. So let me drop it like this. Let me talk to you like this. Lil Ray Ray gets together with Shanae Nae.
Amen.
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 And they have a summer fling.
Right.
Amen. And then in a month, amen, what happens is Shanae Nae come up with Lil Ray Ray.
Drama.
Because the pituitary gland kicked in and the emotions and the hormones and she looked good, he looked good, and they decided to let's get it, as Marvin Gaye would say. Oh.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so now she's 15.
Hmm.
Right? He's 14.
Hmm.
Oh, no one.
Hmm. Mom and Daddy was at work. Hmm. Hey. Mom and Daddy was at work. Hey.
Uh-huh.
Right? They planned it over the internet. Well, Mama leave it this time. Daddy leave it this time. They don't get back to this time.
Uh-huh.
So you catch the D12 over because I can't drive yet. Catch the D12 over.
And
come
exactly
on
this time.
Come on now. You know, we go in there and we do what.
Get you out before you
go. There you go. Catch the P12 back on the flip side.
Right.
And so now Ray Ray, Shanae Nae, now they're bringing in
Ray.
Ray Ray Jr. 14 years old, he don't got a job. 15 years old, she don't have a job. She done dropped out of school.
Drama.
You see the drama building?
Come on.
Drama.
See the drama building?
Drama.
Now what happens is you have a situation where they did something out of God's order,
mm-hmm.
and now it's drama involved.
Right.
And so when we look at the Word of God, the Word of God says this is how you have proper relationships. You do it this way, things are going to work out well. It'll work out better for you, and you can recognize your blessings and walk in your blessings. At the proper time. But if you don't look at the Word of God, and if you the Word of God doesn't make you to the point where you're uncomfortable to say, ooh, this is not what I need to do because it might feel good, but it's not good for me
right
now.
Right, right.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
And you can say that again because it's true.
It might feel good, but it's not good for me
right now.
Mm-hmm. Because
no
way in the world, no way in the world am I going to be able to deal with little Ray Ray, and I'm 15, he's 14, I'm still living with my mama, he's still living, none of us got it. Transportation,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Or
healthcare,
job.
And so here I am, right?
Right.
In the drama that God said, if you would have went to the Word and read it for yourself, felt a little uncomfortable, you could have put some brakes on that stuff because God said you need to mortify that.
Right.
Every day.
Amen.
That's right. Every day, even when you're married, because you have to leave your house and go around some attractive people.
Amen.
That's why I put in there about adulterers.
That's right.
Not that anybody on my job is attractive.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Clear that up. Clear that up.
Don't
clear
let
that
me
up.
Have to come
clear
up
that,
there.
Clear that up.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying, Sheila G?
Yeah.
What God says, He says if you're going back to Colossians 3, go back to Colossians 3, and when we look at Colossians 3. Why does he start with that word fornication? He starts with the word fornication because it gets you in your emotions.
It's a distraction, yeah.
It gets you in your emotions. When you're in your emotions, I mean, the emotions can get you to forget about what reality is.
Amen.
Right. Or God's destiny for you.
Oh, God's destiny. And help me out if I'm right, Sheila G, if I'm wrong, Sheila G, if your girls can see that he ain't no good for you.
Mm. Yeah. But you can't.
Mm-mm.
Because you're in your emotions.
Mm.
You're in your feelings.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm. He calling you and everything.
That's your boo.
Yeah. Hey, girl. You know, he coming by and seeing you and everything. He bringing you some stuff. But you can't see, amen, that he driving some other woman's car to come see you. And your girls are telling you, Sheila, he's coming to see you, but he's driving so-and-so's car.
It's emotion.
And you're like, well, he's coming to see me.
And eventually I'll win him.
And when my, he gonna, you know, have my car.
And I'll get rid of her.
The competition.
But that's why we go back to Colossians 3, verse 5, and he says mortify. So in order to mortify, you gotta take some action. You gotta do some things about it. In order for you to kill those things that are going to destroy you, you have to take action first. And that's the thing about Bible study. That's the thing about your devotion. That's the thing about getting into the Word of God. That's the thing about recognized prayer,
mm-hmm.
who the Holy Spirit is that's the only one. He's the only one. The Holy Spirit using the Word of God and your relationship with God is the only one that's going to be able to help you carry this out.
That's right.
Because Timmy knows that all I need to do is feeling a little, you know, feeling, get your emotion, and you going down.
That's
and
right.
Everybody that I know, amen, has gone down.
Right.
That's why nobody can judge anybody
That's
else.
That's right. Only God
nobody
can judge.
Nobody can stand up
That's
and
right.
say,
hey, well, you should.
No.
Everybody's been there, done
Everybody
that.
Everybody has fallen down.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
If you without sin, pick up the rock.
Well.
And cast the first stone.
Right.
That's why the word it doesn't discriminate. There's no favoritism in the word,
mm-hmm.
because it knows if we're in this flesh, amen, and that little pituitary gland kicked in, amen.
Yep.
You're gonna have to mortify those desires. Otherwise, it's gonna sweep you away.
That's right.
So the first thing on the list. Colossians 3:5, it says, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil covetousness, and covetousness,
which
is idolatry. And all of these things are things that are not of God.
Right.
They're uncleanness,
jealousy,
inordinate affection,
mm-hmm.
covetousness, can't help me with that word.
Covetousness,
and When you those are desires. Those are desires
yeah,
that are not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have to do is we have to find a way to push those things down. And the only way you can push those things down is staying in the Word of God.
Right.
And when we studied last week in Ephesians 5, it said you have to speak to yourself.
Amen.
Right.
Let's go back to Ephesians 5 again, and where it talks about how you had to speak to yourself, because sometimes. In order for you have to talk yourself out.
That's true.
I know.
That's very true.
If you look at Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what happens is, you have to learn how to recognize the stuff that's going to be devastating to you. And you have to learn how to take the Word of God to apply it to that situation in order to mortify it so it doesn't destroy your life.
And when he's saying speak to yourself, that means all he's saying is, I know these things are within you.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to have these desires. I know that the flesh in you is going to be that way. But put Jesus on your mind. That's why he's saying speak to yourself,
mm-hmm.
sing a song, read a word, say a scripture. Somehow, if you put me on your mind,
mm-hmm.
I will help you suppress those things that come natural to you.
Right.
Because it comes natural.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's not like it's something strange that's happening
no,
to us.
No.
It comes natural, but we have to put God and Jesus on our mind, however you have to do it.
Right.
In order to suppress those desires.
Right. So what happens is, if you don't suppress them, what happens? Where do you end up?
You end up falling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for the moment, but afterwards it's like, okay, now this is a bigger mess.
Yeah.
Know? So, yeah.
And now you got Lil Ray Jr.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with Lil Ray Jr.
Or you can be in a relationship with someone that you really don't want to be in a relationship with and not know how to get out of it.
Right. Or you get into a relationship where you realize that you're not advancing, you're not doing the things that you want, and it's like, wow, I'm stuck.
That's right. I'm dragging you down.
It's dragging me down. I'm not reaching my potential, you know, and it makes it harder. It makes it harder.
Right.
And so in that bond of submitting, back to Ephesians 5, verse 20-21, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God, what that does is God puts the two people together so that they can work together in that relationship.
Right.
But what has happened too many times in the world is people trying to have relationships, individual relationships. Mm-hmm. And we just get together when we want to get together, but then we go about our own way.
Right.
And then the children come involved, and then you got the guy over here, the woman over there with the child. The guy comes in, and it's like an individual thing. But the two never come together where they can actually work it together, share the burden together. Even though he might be sending a few dollars, and sometimes they don't even send a few dollars, it works better when the two come together.
Right. And by submitting to God, we grow together.
Yeah.
In a relationship. And your relationship is not based off of just that physical attraction.
Right.
Because if it's based off that, suppose something happens to you. What?
Yeah.
So somebody's going to just roll out and say, oh, Pete, I don't want to bother with you anymore.
Right.
So you can't grow together. Then as you get old, then what?
Right.
You know, if that's all your relationship is based off physical, you should be able to grow together. But in order to do that, you have to submit yourself to God first.
Exactly.
But you know, too, we forget that that's what the Holy Spirit is here for. That, you know, the power is there.
Yeah.
But we've got to exercise it. And when we don't, then that's when those desires come in and we fall trapped to the emotional part of it.
Right. And so what we're saying is, you know, those things are natural in you, like you said, Sheila G.
Mm-hmm.
But God has a plan for that natural thing.
To be in the right place, right?
Be in the right place, doing the right thing between the right people,
right? Mm-hmm.
And when you do it that way, what happens is now, if you go back to Hebrews 13:4, now what happens? It says. And the bed is, it said, marriage is honorable to all, and the bed is undefiled.
Right.
Now you can do the me, Jane, me, you, me, Tarzan.
Whatever you want.
Hello.
And you can swing.
Swing from
all
and anything else.
Yeah, all bets are off. Whatever you want to do, you can do it.
Hello. Amen.
You ain't worried about nobody coming home.
Never.
You or whatever.
No.
Or when you see the door locked.
You see the door locked. Don't knock.
Nothing.
You're
and
amen.
It's whatever,
amen.
Because it's undefiled.
Amen.
So it's whatever the two of you that God put together desire to do.
Amen.
It's
all good then.
That's it.
You can swing from the chandelier.
Amen.
There you go. There you go.
Amen.
And they'll have no guilty conscience.
Thank you.
Nope.
Thank you.
Me, Jane. Jane.
You can put one of those poles in.
Come on now. Amen. There you go. Amen.
What?
It's undefiled.
Undefiled.
And that's the type of pun God intended it to be.
Right.
But in marriage.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. And then afterwards, you all feel bad. It's like, okay.
Hey,
see you in the morning.
Come on.
Same back channel.
Amen.
Same station.
And with that, you know, you know, we laughing and joking, but when you're married and as you grow old like that, you got to do things to keep it spiced up.
That's true.
It's all okay when you... doing it the way the Lord says do.
That's right, with the one that God gave.
Amen.
And this is what God, he said, I don't want, you know, he put these emotions in us.
Come
he put
on.
The little stuff on us for us to enjoy each other.
That's right. That's right.
But if he says you got to do it
in
his way.
And
that's where Dr. Gregory said the Holy Spirit comes
mm-hmm.
in. But what happens is, get to a point where they say, well, you know, I'm not ready for marriage, so I'm going to try it out.
Play the field.
And play the field. I'm going to try it out until I get the right one.
Come on.
But what happens is if you try out too many,
amen.
What happens?
You may miss out,
satisfied.
Right?
You'll
you
never
might
be
miss, you'll, and you'll miss out on the right one.
And then you do get married. You're like, well, he don't do this like like Ray Ray did. Like Roy did, or he can't do this like Stevie Wonder did, or like, you know. And so now you're comparing him to Tom, Dick, Harry, Bob, Jeff, and you like you're not satisfied because you done stretched out there and tried everything else.
Amen.
And everybody else.
Well.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the same thing with the guy.
Come
like,
on.
You done been with Shanae, Ray Ray, Kookie, and Mookie, and everybody else. And now you settling down with her, and you're like, well, man, she's slow. What's up? Come on, man. What's going on? And, you know, she's like, he's like, well, what do you want? Well, oh, girl, you love it, though. When I do this.
And, but it's because you've been out there with this, and this.
Exactly.
If you waited for me, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Exactly. But see, people think God is stuck up in stuff, and he's talking about, oh, if you do this, I'm going to judge. God's like, I want you to have a relationship, and your relationship be off the hook.
Right.
Has anybody ever read the Book of Solomon?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Solomon.
What?
Romance ain't got nothing on Solomon.
What?
That's pure romance.
The boy was bad.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, it's a romance novel.
You see what I'm saying?
Come
God's
on.
God's like, y'all think y'all doing something?
I got something.
He said, God said, I got something for you.
All right.
But I just want you to do it the right way so you can enjoy it.
With the person that I believe you should be with, and that relationship is built on something more than physical.
Exactly. It's a love relationship.
Right.
It's built on love. It's built on God saying, if you love me, I can show you how to love someone else.
Right.
Right.
But if you just out there trying, you're not in love, you're in love.
Right. Come on.
That's right.
And who sang the song? Who sang the song? When B.B. King says, the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. When the thrill is gone.
Yeah, after a while,
And so what God is saying, he's saying, I'm not just trying to come down on you and tell you need to stop doing that. You're a whoremonger, you're adulterer, you're fornicating, you have unclean thoughts. He's saying, those things you need to mortify every day so you can have the proper relationship with the one that I want you to be in love with.
That's right. That's right. I want you to love them before you get to that.
Exactly.
Not that I'm pointing at that.
Not yet.
So Sheila G, help me out here. Help me out. So when we first start off and we begin to start noticing each other, at what point should we get to the point where we're saying, okay, I understand that God says it's this way in this plan. At what point do we have to say, all right, am I too young to get married? Am I ready to get married? Or do I want to get married? And how do all three of those scenarios play into let me mortify this until I want to get married or I'm old enough to get married? How do I keep myself until I get to that point where I'm ready.
Well, it goes back to what you had in Ephesians 6. You have to speak to yourself. You have to speak to God, have that relationship with him first. And if you have that relationship with him first, you will be uncomfortable. And when you know you're uncomfortable, that's when you know that, okay, this is not what God wants me to do. It just will, things that you used to do or where you used to go or who you used to be with, or even when you're in that relationship with someone, the closer you get to the Lord, then you become uncomfortable.
Right.
And it's like, why am I uncomfortable? And that's why, you know, we were sharing with someone that when we say the Lord speaks to you, it's not so much that he says words to you as it is
spirit.
And that spirit, it rattles your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, okay, you know what? This is not for me. As much as I like looking at it, but as it has in store.
So let me ask you this question. So why are so many people afraid of marriage?
Commitment.
Well, see, I'm not a man, so I didn't think about commitment first.
Commitment.
Why are men so not ready to commit?
We got a hand right over here. This ought to be good.
No, I just want to make sure I word it right. That's all. I wouldn't necessarily say it's afraid to get married, because I think that if you look at it from the other side, I'm going to just answer this from the other side. You look at the statistics nationally, what, 50, 60% of all marriages end in divorce? I'm not sure what the variables are. I'm sure there are numerous number of variables, but I can only speak for myself. Not only based off of that, but also based off of, you know, being kept in the word and praying. Also, I guess you recognize when it is that you're ready. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, marriage itself, I'm sure you guys can speak on it very hard. You know, you still a person, but you have your ups, you have your downs. But I think for myself and what I've always, you know, told people when I speak, I need to work on Brandon, get Brandon together. That's right. Even though I know I'm not going to be perfect when I get there, but I know right now I'm not where I need to be to go ahead and be married, because I'm raised in the old school. If I'm difficult with my wife, we're going to work it out. We're not just going, okay, get a divorce, whatever. Yeah. So I know if I'm not there yet, I'm smart enough to realize, like, hey, look, it may take me a little longer than the next person, but all in all, I'll be married longer probably than the person who beats me to it, mm-hmm. because I waited on God. I waited till I felt I was comfortable, felt I was ready, and didn't rush into it, because a lot of people do it for the emotional reasons, for the lust reasons. You're married for the wrong reason. Then you realize when you walk down the aisle, you say, I do, you go home. Head starts spinning around, and you don't know who you married or what's going on. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's fear, at least from my standpoint. It's just the fact that I recognize that I'm not ready. At this point, I don't put an age on it. I don't put a time frame on it. I don't rush it, because then you prematurely jump into something because, oh, well, I'm 30-something. I should be married by now. I should have 4 or 5 kids. So if you program yourself that way,
right,
you'll start anybody that kind of wants to agree with, oh, I like that. I like this. Okay, well, I'm going to jump in it with this, because on its face, this seems like the person that would that would fit with me. So that's how I look at it. I wouldn't necessarily say it's fear. It's just I'm not ready yet. That's all.
And I wish more people would be that honest.
Anybody else? I think for me, you know, personally, it wasn't so much the fear of commitment, because we had already been together a long time, and I felt that she was a person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was really outside pressures and fear from talking to older people or talking to other people. And it's like, as soon as you get married, all that stuff going to stop. She ain't going to cook no more. She's not going to dress up no more. You know, everything's going to go down the tubes. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, if I get married, it's going to ruin everything. Like, everything's going to change. So that was, like, my biggest fear. Okay. And then, you know, I guess I had to take a leap of faith and follow the word. And, you know, things are better now than it was before.
My man.
You know, but I guess people in their own situations, they have their own preconceptions, because you may have went through a marriage that wasn't what you expected. So it's like, okay, all marriage is going to be like
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case.
All right.
I think it is fear. I think it's fear of the unknown.
Mm.
Because the question was really about commitment. Who knows what that looks like anymore? Maybe. 3, and I don't know what it looks like. My parents were separated. Most parents these days were not even married. So separation never came into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have generations coming up now who just don't know what commitment is.
That's right.
Amen.
If you got to be taught, if you don't see it, somebody tell you,
right,
it's going in one ear and out the other, like most things older people in your life tell you.
Right.
They don't see it anywhere.
Amen.
Then you get the few married couples that I see, when they say how happy they are, you know what I think? Yeah, you go home, it's probably a different story. Y'all just got sense enough not to show it in public. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure that it's real for those mm-hmm. who did it the right way. But doing it the right way is not drilled into the general public now.
Right.
So anytime it's out of God's order, it's just not going to work. I got sense enough to know that just by being here this long. Nobody had to tell me that. I've seen that myself. I've seen that. You want to talk about whoremongering and all that. I mean, I've been celibate for years, but my life has never been better.
Amen.
And so I don't even miss it. I missed it for a minute, but not anymore. I mean, I can't think of a single man that I want coming to my house and don't ever go home. I just can't see it. So it's not even, but I mean, I don't know what it looks like. I don't see it that often. I'm sure my daughter's generation can't even fathom it. You know, not many of her, me and her father, we're not together. Very few of her friends have a mom-pop family unit, a mm-hmm. dynamic like that.
Right.
So, myself is they don't want to stop playing the field because that's what you see everywhere.
Amen. And you know, with that too.
I mean, that's just real. That's
yeah,
just
and
real.
It's
yeah.
not talked about.
Right.
I mean, when you look, the way we're doing it right now, we're going through the world, but we're keeping it real.
Real.
And years ago, you did not hear talk like this in the church. You didn't even hear it out in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wasn't discussed, and Sharon is right. You didn't really see a lot of it going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, granted, you know, as times have changed, you know, the divorce has gone up for whatever reasons. But to actually see it done the way that the Bible is talking about,
mm-hmm.
that's why I get tickled. You know, Sister Gregory and I talked about celebrating 25 years
mm-hmm.
and where we were going to go. And them young folks just all giggly. And just, yeah, we're going to wait.
That's
we
right.
Like,
what? That's
right.
That's right.
Hello. Thank you.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And to piggyback on what Brian was saying, it's true. If you are with, because we both were friends and became very, very close and then became were married, and we knew at the time that we were getting married that God wanted us to be together.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, the first couple of years
mm-hmm.
of our marriage
mm-hmm.
was hell.
Right.
But because we had that solid, because we had that solid foundation,
right.
we were able to get through it. So
right.
I can honestly say 25 years later, our marriage is stronger,
oh,
and
right.
I'm actually more in love with him than I was back
right.
then, and he's like old and gray.
Watch
man.
It. Right. Watch
right.
it. Ain't nothing cold over here, sister.
I didn't say cold.
Amen. Amen.
I did not say cold.
But see, you know, to even top that, because see, with when I first, my first marriage, now I was young, I was in the ministry, and in my own mind, I needed to have a wife.
Uh-huh.
Now, I did not go consult the Lord.
Oh, no.
But I had convinced myself of that, and I was young in Christ. I was learning. And so I looked and found who I thought God wanted me to have.
Oh, my.
Got involved and got messed up. So I had to learn about what it meant to wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And girlfriend came along, was not in love, but I had to learn
baggage.
How watch it. I had to learn how to be in love the way God intended. Some 25 years later, here we go.
Best friend.
Yeah. And so, again, like Dr. G was saying, I don't think ministry
Mm-mm.
keeps it real. Like,
right.
I don't think, you know, you start from the pituitary gland and saying, you
it's
know,
natural
she
feeling.
Look good,
it's
he look
natural
good.
To it's feel that.
Feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start from the point that this is real. This is a reality.
Yeah.
We're not sugarcoating anything.
Mm-mm.
You got to start from that point, and then you have to build, you know, from that saying, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable, but the more you talk about it, so people can get an understanding that God wants the best for you.
Amen.
And when it's done his way, it's off the chain.
Right. Amen.
It is an awesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not talked about in a certain way, in this way, or you're talking at it from I'm up here and you're down here, or
mm-hmm.
I'm condemning or I'm judging you, or
right.
I'm pointing my finger at you and, you know, making you feel like, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's not how people receive it. You receive it as, hey, God wants the best for you. And you know, this is where you can be. And but if you don't do it, God says, you know, I'm not going, you know, just, you know, bat an eye at it and let you do it. And it's not going to be consequences. Basically, you're bringing the consequences on yourself.
Right.
Amen.
You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so God says, I don't want you to bring those consequences on yourself because they're not good.
Right. Amen.
And so, you know, it's a thing where if you keep playing with fire,
you're
going to
get burned.
Burned.
Right, and to piggyback on what Sharon was saying about the fear that's there, and it is, you don't know, because no one knows the future. So it is truly a leap of faith, when you make that commitment and you make that say, I'm going to be with this person for the rest of my life. But you can't truly make that commitment of faith until you commit it to the Lord first.
Right.
And that way you have the faith. It's like, okay, Lord, I know you got my back. I don't know what I'm walking into.
Right.
But I know that you have put this, and this is the desire, this is the direction you want me to go. So I'm making this leap of faith. I'm not saying I'm not scared,
right.
But I'm taking this leap, and I'm trusting and believing that you're going to handle any challenges that I'm faced with.
And what happens is when you get to that point and you're saying, okay, I'm learning how to be in my relationship with God. We never go back to, you know, what a true covenant is.
Mm-hmm.
See, people, when you get in a relationship, you have to be in a covenant relationship where you are making a promise to your husband or your wife and to God, and now I'm entering into a covenant relationship. In other words, covenant relationship, this is, I promise to do this and you promise to do that, and God promises to do this, and nobody ever talks about that anymore,
right.
about entering into a covenant with
right.
each other.
Right.
Entering into a covenant means that this is a promise that no matter what's going to happen, we're in this relationship. We're
together.
In this together. I'm going to do what God wants me to do.
And
you're going to do what God wants
right.
you to do. And God's going to do his part. But that whole concept of covenant relationship goes out the window
right.
because people say, well, I don't know what she's going to do. I don't know what
he's
going to
do. Or I'll do this if he does that.
Right.
Or I'll do that if she does that. And it's not about that.
And
it's
not about that. And what happens is if you're going to build anything, you got to work.
That's right. That's right.
You gotta work. If you're going to build anything,
that's right.
You
got to
work.
You have
to work.
So
this whole
work.
Misconception, it's going to be 50-50, everything's going to work out right.
And you're always going to get your way, and you
know,
can just lay around while the other person does whatever. No, everybody
thing,
has to work together.
The only thing God promises us in our relationship is that he said, I'll be with you.
Yes. That's right.
Hey, you got to walk through the
valley. Walk through the valley.
He says, I promise, he says, if you look at Hebrews 13:5, he says, let your conversation be without and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee
nor
forsake
thee.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 6 of Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So,
that's right.
So in other words, what God's saying is there's going to be some shadows of death. There's going to be some getting on my nerves. There's going to be some pissivity.
Right.
There's going to be some pissed off.
Good one.
There's going to be some you don't understand.
And love.
There's going to be a time where I love you, but I'm not.
Come on.
There's going to be
yeah,
some
yeah,
doors.
Don't
yeah,
like
it.
You.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it.
I'm going to love you, but
I'm
not going to be in love
with
you.
Or I love you, but I really don't like you.
Amen.
And so in that, God said, I'm not going to leave you, nor forsake you.
Right.
But when you begin to start recognizing that God's going to be there and I need to do it God's way, and the only way it's going to work if I do it God's way.
That's right.
And God says, love, listen to what God said. God says, love never fails.
Amen.
That's right. True love.
Amen.
Not lust.
He says
love
never fails.
Never fails.
How do we know this? Jesus got us out of sin because he loved us.
Amen.
That's true. Had to.
He loved us so much that he would look at my crap. It's oh, Lord, Kayson is disgusting. But I love him so much that I'm willing to give up my life
for him.
And know that eventually that he's going to love and reciprocate me back.
That's
Amen.
Right.
But see, when you're in a marriage and somebody brings that nasty stuff to you, first thing you know, you want to cuss them out and say, I'm done. I'm finished with this. We have grown apart. Irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
You get the dog. You get the cat.
Court.
The kids. We go to court.
Uh-huh.
We're getting out of this because we don't want to look at how difficult it is to love in spite of.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right. And you have to have that foundation of what you were talking about before, the three of you, me, you, him, and the Lord, the Lord first.
Well, plus, it's easier to just get out of it, run, turn the other way, split the stuff, and go on about our little happy way.
But you never address the issue.
Right.
Right.
And so what happens is you take that baggage.
That's right.
To the next one.
Yes, you
next.
Do.
Another
right.
2 or 3 years in that.
That's
come on.
Right.
I'm done. Go to the next one. Another two
and
years in that.
And you keep carrying the baggage.
Go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And now you bring in this baby father, this baby mama, mm-hmm. this mama, this drama. You bring in this headache, this problem. And you're like, why do I keep getting into this?
Mm.
Because we won't do it God's way.
That's
hello.
Right.
Hello.
We won't settle down and say, look, I've tried it that way, and that didn't work.
Merk.
Anybody ever been there?
Yes.
Anybody ever been
yes.
there?
Yes.
I've tried it that way, and it didn't work. Now, that's the definition of insanity.
Mm. You keep doing it.
If you keep doing something that you,
you know
it
doesn't work.
That's insanity.
Expecting a different result. You're going to come up with the same result every time.
That is insanity.
And you know it doesn't work.
And you know it doesn't work. And here you go, the enemy and the devil talking about, yeah,
so
I know exactly what he like.
Come on.
Your heart then got broke.
Hello.
You done broke your heart and went off with your best friend. You cried. She grinning in your face talking about, hey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tears running down your face.
Uh-huh.
I'm hurt, girl. Losing you, baby. Oh, can't believe. And you get to that thing, and it's like, what happened? What happened? And then you get over that one. You come off the rebound. Anybody ever been on the rebound?
Mm. Yeah.
Where the next thing to come down, you just boom, and you back in it again.
All right.
Vicious cycle.
Vicious cycle.
And we are the only ones that can break that cycle.
And we're the only ones.
And the only way we can do it is put our trust in the Lord.
And so this whole relationship thing, this whole submitting to each other, it's not for our hurt. It's for our good.
Amen.
Right.
Submitting to God, submitting to your husband, your wife, and to understand that it's going to work out for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's for your benefit.
Amen.
It's a thing where you have to understand that God says, if I do it this way, it's going to work out good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because if I keep messing up, it's going to be bad. Let's go to Ephesians, because we only got about 8 minutes. Lord have mercy. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 again and see how God says that we should treat our wives, fellas.
Yeah.
Fellas. Yeah. Fellas. Yeah. Fellas, if we learn how to treat our wives as queens, she will treat you as a king. She will treat you as a king. Fellas, if you learn how to treat her like a queen, she'll treat you as a king.
Hmm.
But the thing is, we got to get out of that wife beater mentality.
Amen.
We're going to put on a little wife beater t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
and we want to walk around like we are the man.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
But if you look at what God says, and he gets serious, he's up in our grill. God is up in the men's grill, Ephesians 5, verse 25, and he says, husband. And first of all, you got to make her a wife.
That's
amen.
True.
You can't keep going around talking about, well, if I buy the calf, I can get the milk for free.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well.
Got to be more careful. You got to make her a legitimate. You got to put her, if you like it,
yes.
you should have put her what?
Ring on.
In that joke. That's where you got to start off. You
amen.
Said, baby, I'm in it. I'm committed. I'm in it. I made the step. You know, you had to put the ring on it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes her feel like this is a covenant. This is a covenant. I'm in a covenant relationship. You're putting the ring on. But don't be a fiance for 25 years. For 25 years. You got folks that have had 20 kids, bought houses together, cars, and, you know, they on their insurance and everything, and they still, and they, this is my fiance. Kids that went to college and everything, this is my fiance.
Anyway, husband.
First thing is, you got to make her your wife, man.
That's right.
You can't come sideways like that. You step up to the plate, and you got to say, baby, I love you, Here's a ring. Let's get into a covenant relationship. And then you got to understand that you're not her father.
Hello.
And you got to treat her the way Jesus would treat her. And when you treat her the way Jesus would treat her, she'll do anything and everything that needs to be done in that relationship. She won't have a problem doing it. She might give you a little lip every now and then,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm going to get my wife on the line.
Amen.
Yes, she's on there.
Uh-huh. She on the line. She on the line. Hold on.
Oh, you're going to put on blast.
Nah, I ain't going to put on blast. We only got five minutes. But if you look at verse 25, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In other words, once you step up to the plate and you say you're the man in the household, in other words, you now have the responsibility to have to deal with everything else that comes along with
it.
Because God has given you the authority and the responsibility.
Right.
And so when everything else goes to hell, you got to be able to stand up and say, hell no.
Come
That's
on.
Right.
I'm taking it to the Lord.
Come
That's
on.
I'm going to deal with it the way the Lord has.
That's right.
That's what you got to stand up and do. I don't care if she's off the chain. You just look at her and say, baby, you sound like a foolish woman. But we're going to do
it
better.
Don't
you dare say that. We're going
to do it, God. Amen. What the Lord said in the Word.
That's what Job told his wife.
Uh-huh.
He said, "I'm
going to curse your God and die."
Come on.
He said, "Baby, you sound like a foolish woman. The Lord give and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
And
get yourself back in line with the Word.
Amen.
Now, if she's in Christ and she is being a foolish woman, she'll hear you and she'll understand it. Now, if you just saying that out of GP,
then that's
not going to work.
That's
you can't just say, like, you just every day call your wife foolish.
This is the way you have to be in the Word as a man,
mm-hmm. right?
To be able to
know
tell
when,
the word,
right.
to know the Word,
mm-hmm.
to live the Word before her, so she'll know that when you telling her she's out of line,
right.
she'll get back in line.
Amen.
Right. But
if you're not living like Christ, then she'll look at you like,
Negro,
please.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Negro, please.
Mm-hmm.
Lord,
gotta lead by example.
And so in verse 26, now you got to know why you're doing that. In verse 25, the whole key is I'm trying to sanctify the whole house.
Right.
So that they'll be separated and operating in a godly way. So when the whole household is operating in a godly way, you got peace at
yeah.
home.
Well,
you got peace in your marriage.
Even when it's confusion,
you still find peace. So
mm-hmm.
he says in verse 20 that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the what?
The word.
Fellas, ladies, if you don't have any word in you that you can live and speak, you need to give it up.
That's right.
Right.
Girls, ladies, don't get involved with no fella that doesn't have the word. It's not the word.
That's right.
He can't do what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
No. He's powerless.
You just don't know. I'm going to hang with him and I'm going to straighten him out. You know how many times I done heard that?
Hello.
You go into premarital counseling. Well, I love him and he's a good person.
Good man.
And I'll be sitting in premarital counseling rolling my eye. Mm-hmm. Right. That's word he said. Well, his grandmama was a preacher. He grew up in the church. Well, what kind of word does he have in it now? How are you going to let this clown, this fella be the head of
your household?
Mm.
That's right.
Come on, ladies.
That's
how
right.
are you going to let this dude be the head of your household?
And he has no power.
He doesn't operate under any authority, but the little pituitary gland is telling you, yeah, that's the one. Hmm?
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Uh-huh.
Am I right about it?
Well.
Yeah.
Am I right about
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Does it make you feel a little uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Why are you going to go out with a joker
Come on.
That's supposed to be the head, that's supposed to cleanse and sanctify by the washing of the word?
And
he
doesn't
even
know the word.
Where the book of Genesis is.
That's bad.
Bad.
Ouch.
Bad.
But that's your boo. That's your fiance.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm going to leave that alone. We out of time.
Yeah,
we're going to receive
27. Okay, 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the work that you got to put in, man, to sanctify, to cleanse it, to get it to the way God wants it to be. You have to do that. You have to be the priest of your house.
That's right. That's right.
But, ladies, you can't go out. You can't go, keep going.
Right.
Because if you let him off the hook, he goes, I ain't going to do nothing. Shoot.
He does it all. Right?
Yeah, I ain't do that. She do that. She go to church. She go to work.
Yeah.
All I'm going to do is stay in the cut, do what I need to do.
And you get tired.
And then you're
like, why am I doing
and
everything?
You mad at him, but you didn't follow the words yourself.
You
Amen.
Created that monster.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Dr. G.
Got to end it.
Help me out, Dr.
Gotta
G.
End
we
it's the truth. Hello.
So we started this out with saying
Amen.
It's going to make you a little uncomfortable.
Amen.
But it's the truth. And
right.
We're going to, next we're not going to be on the air next week. We got Vacation Bible School. And everybody's welcome to come on Thursday. But we're going to get into the role of that man. Man. The man's got to step up. And ladies, you have to demand that he steps up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you got to show him what he needs to be before you get into that covenant relationship with him.
Right.
Because when you get into covenant relationship, oh, Lord, that's ooh, we gonna get into that a little bit later
mm-hmm.
with the whole blood covenant.
Mm.
We get into that a little bit later. Like, too many people in covenant relationship with too many other people.
All right.
Amen.
You got to break those covenants, ask God to get you out of them so you can get into the right covenant.
Everything in order, not perfect,
all right,
but in order.
All right. Any questions? Comments, concerns, everybody do the woosah.
Woosah.
Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, you going to close us out in prayer. We didn't even get to the phone call.
I know.
We're going to get y'all a week after next.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you once again for allowing us to come and expound upon your word, Lord. We thank you, Father, because we truly just keep it real, Lord. As Sister Sharon said, not enough people hear it the way it really is. And we just ask that you would help us to grow and continue to put you first in all of our lives.
Yeah.
In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go and keep it tonight. And remember,
Matt,
nothing
got
new.
Good night.
Oh,
did I break it? I think I broke it.